Thanks, Andrew. It was a good encouragement, and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully it can be real to us as we go throughout our weeks and reflect on these things, and hopefully I'm going to share a little bit more, and I trust not dilute from what we've already heard. I wanted to share a little bit from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells the parable of the sower, and then his disciples in verse 10 ask him about why he's talking to everyone in parables, and his answer is sort of where what caught my attention and had me reflecting this week. It's we can maybe even just skip to verse 6, because he says, like, earlier on, it's sort of saying, like, to some, well, maybe in verse 11 it says, Jesus answered to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." And then Jesus refers to a prophecy, I think it came from Isaiah. And it sort of was, I was caught by verse 15 in the last half. It says, like, the people's ears have become dull and they can't hear and they close their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. So there's those who don't see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand what Jesus is saying to them. And because of that, they miss out on the healing that God wants to bring. But in contrast, you can actually take the other side of it and say, those who do hear, are we those who do hear? Are we those who do see? Because if we are, then we have the promise that God is going to be healing our hearts, that he's going to be healing us. And it actually ties, it doesn't seem like, but it actually ties exactly what Andrew's saying. That healing, that transformation is the new covenant, is being transformed into the Jesus, into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the healing that God wants to bring to us. And then he goes on to say, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it." And I was just kind of reflecting on that there's a promise here that if we see with our eyes and hear with our ears and return, it's that's a turning, as the heart would return, that there's a healing. And there's a blessing here that we have received. If we say and if we know that God has spoken to us, if God has revealed something of his truth to us and brought about a change in our lives, we're in this passage. Like, we can find ourselves in here. And it says that many of the prophets and righteous men, those who actually wrote the scriptures, like, you go back and look at the Old Testament, those who wrote those scriptures actually wanted to see and hear these things. They were understanding it in part. They were getting a little bit of it, but they didn't understand it completely. They didn't have the revelation that was to come through Jesus Christ. They did not have that yet. And Jesus is saying, like, we are blessed. We have that now. We have what we're seeing and hearing and understanding of God. They didn't have that opportunity. And I think the intent of this is just to have a reflection and a, I don't know if it's a sobriety, but like a seriousness about, like, what God has given us, that we would take it seriously, that we would not take it lightly, that which has been spoken to us, that which has been revealed to us in the scriptures, that we would take it to heart, that it would bring about a change, that it would bring about a hungering and thirsting to know God more, that it wouldn't be something, because it says that earlier on, it says it in other gospels as well, like, "For him who has, more will be given, and an abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." And I think, and in Luke, I think it's Luke, either Luke or Mark, I'm not going to go to all of them for the sake of time, but it says, like, take heed how you hear. That's exactly what Jesus says immediately following that warning and promise about those who have getting more and those who think they have actually having it taken away. It says, take heed how you hear. And so when I read that, I was like, I think it ties together, like saying our response to having an understanding and having a glimpse or understanding better, what a privilege it is and what a blessing it is to have the gospel speak to our hearts. Our response to that is to take heed how we hear, like to not take it lightly, not let our hearts become callous or dull or let it kind of slip to the background in our lives. And I think I'll just read a little further here because it's actually interesting. In the parable of the sower, it uses that phrase here. In the next few verses, Jesus explains what he talked about earlier in the chapter. And he said, in the first one, in verse 19, it says, there's some who hear the word of the kingdom and don't understand it. And the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So it actually is very closely tied together. There's a hearing of the word, and there's a lack of understanding, and then the enemy comes and steals it away. And I think in that lack of understanding, I don't know, like I feel like it could be that the gospel was explained in a way that they didn't get it, and I just didn't comprehend it. And that is possible, because if we share the gospel in a way that's hard for people to understand and they don't get it, like, yeah, the enemy can come and steal that away. But I almost want to tie that understanding to verse 15, where it says, they understand in their heart and return, and I would heal them. So I almost wonder if in this lack of understanding, there's a lack of applying what they've heard to their own hearts, to saying, I need that. I need what this gospel is offering. I need to be changed. I need to be forgiven. And if we lack that understanding, if we lack that understanding where our heart is turned and returning to the Lord from what we hear, then the enemy will come and snatch that away. And I think that kind of, I don't want to overextend this because this is too far, but I think that that's an attitude, right? Like that's something we can continue to, we want to be on guard that this doesn't become us, that we stop taking what we hear and applying it and understanding it in our heart and letting it bring about a change and a response. Because if we lack that, it seems to say that the warning here is that the enemy can come and just take it away. It doesn't produce anything in our hearts. There's no understanding, and it produces nothing in our hearts. Then the second one, it says, the seed was sown on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So there's some understanding here. There's some understanding. Like, I don't know, I almost can think of it as like, there's an understanding that sees that the gospel is good news. Like, yeah, I want that. Like, wow, yeah, I am a sinner. I do need to be forgiven. And you're telling me that Jesus wants to bring healing in my life and make it better and bring change to me and help me and be with me. Like, that's awesome. And I'm excited about that. And there's a joy, and it comes with even perhaps allowing the gospel to begin to work in us. There's, because I've experienced, many of us have experienced that. We come, we have repentance, and joy comes. But what's the problem? It says, despite the fact the person has heard, the seed gets no firm root. It says he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So this is another kind of hearing. This is a kind of hearing that gets some understanding. The devil doesn't immediately come and pull it away, but we get some understanding, and we actually like what we hear. We're like, yeah, this is good news. I'm excited about this. It brings joy. But then difficulty comes. Persecution comes. In the parable, it talks about the sun. It gets hot. And in that, all of a sudden, because the word has not taken root in our hearts, because there is no firm commitment. It actually says there's no root in himself. I think in my mind, follow Jesus Christ. That decision isn't made. The decision is, I like what I hear, it's good. But when it gets hard, when it gets tough, it's like, you know what, I'm maybe going to alter my course here because I'm not liking the difficulties that this is bringing in my life. I'm not liking perhaps some lost friendships, or I'm not liking the fact that God is asking me to bring about some changes. Some convictions have come, and it's actually hard to live out a little bit what I'm beginning to understand here. When that comes, there's a deviation and a leaving of the way. And it says, and immediately he falls away. So again, the seed does not produce that which is intended to produce. It starts to, but it doesn't produce it. Then the third one, it says on verse 22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worries or the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word. Oh, there's a change. It's actually, you can see evidence of the fact the gospel is working. But over time, the weeds, instead of being taken out and pulled away, and those things which are trying to crowd out the gospel, there's a choice here. Anybody knows a little bit about gardening, there's a choice here, right? Like, as the seed starts to grow, if things start to crowd it out and the weeds are coming, the weeds can either be pulled out and removed, which is some work and some sacrifice and some decisions about what's going to have priority in our lives, and then the seed can continue to grow, or those things can be left unchecked. Those things can be left to hopefully grow alongside with my newfound faith, with my love of Jesus Christ, or maybe not even newfound faith, my mature faith. But either way, we let things continue to try and grow along with our following of Jesus Christ. And Jesus warns that the outcome is that these things that want to grow, these weeds, the worry of the world, deceitfulness of wealth, and other gospel, it says the love of pleasure, they choke out the word. And ultimately, the end outcome is the same. It's the same as the first one in that it does not produce the full mature plant. The seed does not grow up. Ultimately, the seed ends up dying. And again, I think it ties back to how are we hearing, right? Like, I guess what was new to me, I think most of us have heard this, but what was a new emphasis in my heart was like, it's each one is hearing. Every one of these people has heard the gospel. And even there's been some response. But Jesus says, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you're responding to the gospel. Take heed how we're hearing today, each week, as Jesus is speaking to us and wants to speak to us. Take heed how we hear, because how we're hearing is going to have an impact on what the gospel is able to produce in our lives. And the last one in verse 23, it says, and on the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 60 or some hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. So the last one, it says it finds good soil and understands it. And I think it even almost more confirms what I was saying about the first soil where it didn't understand it. Because I think everyone in here knows that being able to understand, like a person could write an exam on the gospel. I think JL was talking a little bit about on Friday night about somebody she ran into at school who knew a ton about the Bible, but it actually had done absolutely lives. But ultimately, this understanding is not related to that. This understanding is about taking the word of God. It says they understand in their heart and return. It's a response. It's when we hear the gospel, our heart responds to it and says, Jesus, I need this. I need what you're sharing to me, what I'm learning, what I'm understanding of your truth. I need it. A little bit like one thing, like what Andrew was sharing, an example would be like he was sharing about our lives being a reflection of Jesus Christ and being willing to take a look and say, is there a change? Are we growing in that image of Jesus Christ? Is the gospel producing something in us? And that's kind of tied to understanding, because understanding says, like, I want to apply this. I want to take heed. I want to let it be real in me. I don't want to just let it be some sort of superficial thing. It's an understanding that brings about growth, that brings about fruit. And honest heart is one that speaks the truth, no doubt about that. not to need to change. I need to continue to be changed. And that heart never should leave us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That honest heart should never, ever leave us. We should never come to a place where we somehow think that we've progressed far enough. Like, we want to always allow the gospel to be bringing about change in our lives. And to me, that is an honest heart. It's a heart that is honest with God and says, God, I need to be changed. And it's an honest heart that says when it needs to repent. It doesn't try and cover things up and put on a show. It receives the word and says, this is truth. And if anything in my life does not line up with this, then that area of my life is the problem. Not the gospel, not the seed. But there's just an honesty there. And perhaps it's not clear what I'm saying, but in my heart, I was just sort of feeling like that is the good heart, the one that is receptive and willing to change and willing to see itself for what it is. And I'm just going to read two more things here really quick. So Jesus says oftentimes in the gospel, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it ties into what we heard here, because Jesus is talking about those who have ears to hear. But often throughout the gospel, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it says it again in Revelation. In Revelation to each of the churches, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I think it's interesting that, especially if you tie it to Revelation, when it says he who has ears to hear, in each of the churches, Jesus loves them, but he's giving them a reproof. He's giving them a warning. He's giving them an exhortation. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's like those who have honest hearts in the church, listen to this. This is important. You need to hear this. I know this church may have been here for 20, 30 years, and look at the Church of the Ephesians. I know there's some good things here, but there's something you need to hear still. This journey is not over. You need to hear this. And Jesus says it, he who has ears to hear. He who has ears to hear the reproof. And I think that is something about that, about taking heed how we hear, having that honest and good heart is the one that is willing to continue to hear stuff about ourselves that challenges us, that causes us to look inward and say, am I lining up with what Jesus Christ, what the gospel says? In Proverbs, it says, Proverbs 6, verse 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. And in Proverbs chapter 1, I'm just going to move quickly, in verse 20, it says, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance to the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and will make my words known to you. As I was reading these things, it's like wisdom is crying out. The wisdom of God is crying out to us, but it does come with reproof. It does come with needing to accept that our hearts need to continue to be changed. We need to continue to take on that image of Jesus Christ. And as I was reflecting on this, I was like, man, you use that word reproof, a little bit like Andrew said about talking about fathers and how they can have certain impacts on children. And some people might have a hard time understanding God as a good father because of impacts they've had. And even I can, sometimes you can hear the word reproof, and it's not easy. Discipline is I'm not going to call discipline easy, but you can almost have this like kind of really negative like connotation of reproof being like this sharp, harsh word that just kind of leaves you cowering after, like, oh man, that was really got humbled there. And we do see Jesus did that occasionally in the Gospels, like to Peter. But I was sort of thinking about what are Jesus's most common reproofs as he goes to the Gospels. If we look at what Jesus said to his disciples, most often his reproof, and I don't say this, you got to test this. I'm not saying I've gone through and counted or anything, but one of the most common reproofs is have faith, believing. Don't let this situation cause you to get grumbling and angry or in a bad mood or other things, all these other fruits that can come out because we stop believing that God can use things for good or start. I just referred to that, but that's another one that Jesus often said. Why are you fearful? Don't be anxious. Trust me. Believe in me. These are some of the reproofs that he gave most often, and I believe there's some of the reproofs that he continues to give to us. Another one that he gave to the disciples was don't seek to be first. He had to reproof them a number of times that they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest and stuff. And he reproofed them and said, listen, my kingdom is about being a servant. It's totally contrary to what you've learned and how you've understood it. You need to learn to be a servant. You need to learn, I am the servant of all as your leader. Follow in my footsteps. And then last one I'll just quickly share is when Jesus said, like, don't set your mind on man's interests, but set your mind on God's interests. This is just a small sample, but I think I just wanted to share that because as we read those words about having ears to hear, about having a good and honest heart, taking heed how we hear, and understanding that everyone who God loves, he disciplines. As a good father, he disciplines us. But the hearts that are still good soil for receiving the gospel and producing fruit and having change come in our lives, like, let's not let ourselves get slack on that, but let's continue to have those hearts that want to change and hunger and thirst for what the gospel offers us. And in that, know that it will come with reproof. That a good and honest heart will know that it actually needs to be reproofed. It needs to be taught God's ways. But in that, his reproofs are for our good. And they come, as we often see in the scriptures, causing us to do the very things that will be a direct blessing in our lives. Like, I just read some of these things and even look at my own life. Like, the reproof many times is like a light bulb going on. It's like, oh, that's how you want me to live, Jesus? Wow, that's so much better. It's hard. It's contrary, and I may have to die to myself and some different emotions or different things I'm feeling, but this is a better way to live. I want this. Thank you, Jesus. Your reproof is proof because it will bring us life. It is the path of life.